Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, this is the God of Miracles session 27. And this one is entitled, Watching God Do Miracles Through Your Money. Now, I want to do a little flip side here. So a few weeks ago, we did a session on given it will be given to you. And the thought process was, as we give away our money, the Lord promises he'll actually give us miracle money stories back. And that was a pretty fun session. I love that. I love that aspect of the kingdom of God. What we're going to do today is we're going to actually go the other direction with it. And we're going to talk about what it looks like when you're the one giving the miracle. Not when you get one, when you're the one giving one. Because I think that this is another significant aspect of the way that the kingdom of God operates that we can actually be part of really whenever we want to. And so this morning, we're going to just look at the other side of that conversation. The word makes it clear that when we give away our resources, when we give away our money, the Lord sees it and that he'll turn back around and give us money. He'll take care of us. He'll do crazy things for us. It's a super fun part of the economy of the kingdom. And many of you already know that. Many of you have already got that just as a part of your life. But what I want to look at for a second is what it looks like. What does it mean when we're the one giving and we're the one actually giving somebody else the miracle they've been praying for? How cool is that when we're the answer to somebody else's prayer? Okay, so that's kind of the premise this morning, because this whole series about the God of miracles, I'm not trying to get us theologically on the same page. God does miracles. Hopefully we all believe that. I'm trying to get us on the same page. We can interact with the God of miracles through his miracles. We can encounter God. We can actually have relationship with him and see him do stuff in our midst and be a part of the process. And so for me, this whole concept of the God of miracles, it has way more to do with us learning how to fellowship with him in the midst of it. And so today, as we touch on this, hopefully this will be a new posture that we can take. Either way, whether you're the one getting the financial miracle or you're the one giving the financial miracle, either way, you're part of the supernatural economy of the kingdom. I don't know about you. I think about the routines of life. It's like you get up, you go to work, you do your stuff. You know, you take care of your business, you come home, it's dinner time, you do whatever, and then you go to bed. Like the rhythm of life can get pretty monotonous. There's just enough about life that can just get pretty like, what is the purpose? Like, why am I here? I don't want to live bored. I refuse to live bored. I think boring living is boring. And I want whatever the Word of God would give us related to interaction with the Holy Spirit, whatever the Word of God would give us in relationship to just the ways that we can encounter God, be used of the Lord, get to experience God doing really cool stuff for us, I want to live fascinated. I want to live kind of right there up on the edge, where the Lord is doing stuff and where there's stories and where my heart's being moved, because that's really what we were created for. We were not created to live bored. When you read the word, there is nothing boring about it. Sometimes chaotic, sometimes unbelievable, but nothing boring. The word of God presents a life for the believer that's actually got a lot going on in it, but it does require our engaging the Lord along the lines that he gives us. There's so much he wants to do in, through, and to us and with us, but he's not going to force upon us. He's so kind. He gives us invitations and then waits for us to take those invitations. And if we take them, we get to experience the Lord in that way. And if we don't, every now and then he gives us a freebie. But as a rule, we don't get to experience the Lord on the regular in those areas unless we're participating. So let's look at what we got here. Jesus said, and this is a verse that we looked at, I think, 2 weeks ago, but I want us to look at it again. Might have been 3 weeks ago. By the way, I was out last week preaching at Church on the Hill, which is the church that's the parent church here that we planted out of Church on the Hill. And so Forerunner Fellowship is a church plant from that church. And I got to go kind of back home last week and preach. It was awesome. It was so good to be with the extended family over there. But anyway, Jesus said in Acts 20, verse 35, this is a verse we looked at, you know, a few weeks ago. He said, or this is him being quoted, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself when he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I don't want us to think about the words of Jesus like he was trying to, you know, trick us into doing right. You know, like, it's more blessed. You know, you'll be blessed. It's good. Just do it. This is actually factual about life, about money, about the human spirit. These are actually facts about how life operates. Jesus was saying, when you give away money, you are experiencing a greater blessing than even when you're on the receiving end of that money. Now, you and I might look at that and go, sounds religious. Sounds like, you know, Bible talk, but I don't know that I can really get my heart behind that. It's way better to get than to give. I mean, we've all got that, you know, three-year-old kid mentality. Like, we just want to get, gimme, gimme, gimme. But here's the thing, Jesus can't lie. The word of God is accurate, it's true. So what we want to do is we want to take what it says and then go, okay, if that's true, how is that true? What does that look like? How does that flesh out? And I'll give you just a few thoughts. I don't have this fully developed. I'm not an expert on this point, but I'll just give you a few thoughts that are just totally real. When you give away money, you get to experience freedom from covetousness. We live in a covetous culture. We live in a culture that is constantly thinking, I want that. I want that. They have that. I want to take that from them. And then I want to make it bigger than theirs. I mean, we have this covetous mindset. And it's funk in the soul. It is not good to live that way. God does not want us living with a covetous mentality. When you give away, you're actually freeing yourself from covetousness. So whatever level of covetousness you've got or don't got, or got and don't think you got, whatever level that is, when you give away money, you're freeing up your soul. And I'm telling you, there's nothing better than the feeling of living free. Of living in freedom, of living with no clogs in the line. I mean, a totally clean, just recently Drano'd plumbing line where you've got just the freedom, the Holy Spirit, you can feel his presence, you're just near to him. This being free from covetousness is part of what Jesus was talking about when he said it's actually more blessed when you give away money, because money has got this capacity connected to it where if you're not careful, you'll wind up loving money, and the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. He says, but if you give away your money, you're probably not in love with it. You're probably actually freeing yourself up. So that's a significant blessing that you don't necessarily get when you're the one getting the money, but you do get it when you're giving the money. Second point, feeling the kingdom of God resources flowing through you. And if you think about it, when we give away money in whatever capacity, you actually want to engage in that. You don't want to just have it be default. You want to be thinking about it. You want to be engaging and talking to the Lord about it regularly. God, I'm part of the kingdom economy. You know, there's the kingdom, there's the economies of the earth. You know, here in America, we've got an economic system, got the dollar, and you got, you know, all the cashless this and that. You got an economic structure, but God's kingdom operates outside of that and also through that. God's kingdom operates with resources because more than God is thinking about the American economy, God is thinking about the kingdom economy. God is thinking about using his players in the kingdom, that's you and me, to accomplish kingdom purposes. And when we use our money to do kingdom of God stuff, we get to be involved in the economy of heaven in a way that is very different than being involved in the economy of planet Earth. We get to be involved, and it's fun to think about it. I'm being used right now by God. I am part of the kingdom of heaven economic system. I am being used to funnel resources on God's behalf to God's objectives on the earth. Friends, that's powerful. And again, when you get the cool blessing and somebody gives you the money, you don't get that. I mean, you're on the receiving end of that, but you don't get to be the one doing it. You're more blessed when you give than when you receive. The capacity to be the one giving a miracle to someone else. I don't know if you've ever had this happen before, but part of my intention today is to challenge us to start thinking this way. If you've ever been, or if you haven't, just kind of put yourself in the headspace. If you've ever been someone else's answer to prayer related to a financial miracle, where they needed something, it doesn't even really matter the amount. It's not so much about how many zeros are on the end of it. It's that it was that amount and that's what they needed. If you've never had that happen before, it's phenomenal. It's amazing when they look at you and they just stare and they go, how did you know? What? You gave me exactly what I was, Whoa. You get to be a part of the miracle? I'm telling you, this is just as cool, or maybe cooler, than laying your hands on the sick and seeing them healed. This is incredible. In fact, it might touch somebody even more than the healing, depending on what they got. But this thought process of being used of the Lord to be the instrument that's delivering the miracle, the one that's actually there in the process, you're the touch point between them, their intercession that's going up to heaven, and God bringing the answer to their prayer back to them. You're in the middle of that. And you weren't there for their prayer time. You weren't there for whatever was happening up in heaven. You were just trying to be generous. And the Lord used you. If you've never had that happen, I'm telling you, you want that to happen. It's awesome. It's powerful. It is such a sweet moment, as well as the promise that if you give, it will be given to you. So part of the thought process on that is, when you give away money, you can expect money coming. That's how the kingdom works. That might sound so crazy to you, but there's a lot of Bible on that. When you give away your financial resources, the Father in heaven sees what you're doing, and he promises to reward you, to actually funnel additional resources back to you. So it's kind of fun. If you think about this, not only do you experience all those things in the moment, you've also kind of got this like money on credit that's coming from heaven. You're kind of like, hey, why are you smiling? Because money's coming. How do you know that? Because I gave away money. Well, how much money? I don't know. Who's it coming from? Well, what's it going to be for? I have no clue. But when it gets here, I'll tell you about it. It's so fun. It's fun to live with expectation. You know what? One of the most powerful components of the kingdom is this thing called hope. When people live without hope, their spirits leave their body. I mean, when people are totally without hope and they're on their deathbed, they're just like, you know what? I think I'm done. But as long as there's that spark of hope, it is powerful to the human spirit. And we live that way. When we live in hope, when we live in expectation, I think God's going to do something. I'm waiting to see God move in my life in a powerful way. When we live that way, we just live better, happier, more complete, less grouchy. Partnership. This whole thing is really all about partnering. I think random acts of kindness are cool. You know, I was in Starbucks line a couple weeks ago or whatever, and I get up to the drive-thru, and the barista or whatever at the door is like, hey, listen, the person in front of you, they just paid for your coffee. I was like, so cool. And they're like, hey, and really, there's nobody even behind you, so you don't have to do the whole pay it forward thing back. I was like, double win, you know? And so then I sped out of there as soon as I could, and I pulled up next to the lady, and she was this lady with her kid, you know, in the car. And I was like, roll down the window. And I said, thank you so much. And then it was cool because I got to see her and her kid have like a little teaching moment, because the kid's like, why is this crazy guy coming up to our car? And whatever. And you could see her be like, oh, well, we bought his drink. And it was just a cool little moment. I love random acts of kindness. I think that's so fun. There is a place for that, but that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the God moment. I'm talking about being used of the Lord to accomplish something that was on the agenda of heaven. Not just being sweet, be sweet too. I'm talking about a God moment for somebody, where they're getting a miracle and it's all your fault. Where something wild is happening in their life and you were the one that was part of the process. That's way cooler. It also takes a little bit more intention. It takes a little bit more prayer. It takes a little bit more engaging. Sometimes those random acts of kindness happen to be that for somebody. But I don't want to just take the random moments. I want to ask the Lord, use me. I want to be used in your kingdom. I'm your friend. I'm your servant. I'll do whatever you want. Use me. And so we've got this verse in Galatians 5 that I just think is fun. You've probably heard me say it before because it's one of my favorite verses. If I get 200 favorite verses, this is on the list for sure. Galatians 5, 24 through 25 says, those who belong to Christ Jesus, they've crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. So the first part of this verse is talking about this life that we have. It's not about us anymore. It's not about what we want, what we're trying to accomplish. It's the crucified life. The life in Christ is the one that's left behind our agenda. But look what the other side of this is. Because the other side of this verse helps us not live aimlessly. Because I mean, if I'm not chasing my passions and desires, the heck am I doing? What am I investing in? How am I pursuing life? It says this, we live by the Spirit. Let us keep in step with the Spirit. So here's what this looks like. There's stuff the Holy Spirit wants to do today. Today, on your street, in your small group, in your family, with the random stranger, there's stuff the Holy Spirit wants to do. Are you willing to keep in step with him? When he takes a left, are you willing to go left? So if you don't know that, then just please dismiss it. We want to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. It's about partnership. It's about getting, it's not doing his bidding. It's not being a servant and it's like master and servant. You will do what I tell you. It's about partnership. Because here's what's so crazy to me. There is so much God wants to do that he won't do until he finds a partner. It's kind of terrifying, actually. Because it's like, you are putting way too much stock in us, God. this is dangerous. It seems like a really dangerous way to live if you're God. Like, do you know who we are? Do you know what we're like? Do you know how covetous we are? Do you know how self-centered, self-focused? He's like, I'm going to go on the gamble that my Holy Spirit in you and the Bible teachings and verses like Galatians, 5 that say keep in step. I'm going to trust enough of you enough times are going to pay attention to these ideas and ask me, what do I want? And then I'm going to get my will done through the willing ones, through my vessels, through my friends, through my partners. Guys, it's the coolest thing to be in partnership with God. Just think about that idea. Partnership. He has a part. You have a part. You don't do your part so many times. You guys, you have to hear this. So many times, he won't do the other part. So many times, or he'll find somebody else. It's crazy. But what about when we do get to partner with him? So me and God, we're working on this thing. You and God are doing what? Yeah, we've got a partnership. You think you're a partner. It's his verses. It's his idea. He told me to keep in step with him. We're dancing. I'm just dancing where he dances. And when he changes the dance, I go with him. And if he starts twirling, then twirl me on. I'm in a partnership with God and I'm trying to accomplish his kingdom purposes. It's the coolest thing in the world. When you get instructions from God about real stuff on the planet, give this amount of money to that person. Help this person in this situation. I'm not talking about random acts of kindness. Those are awesome. I'm talking about partnership where you are actually in tandem working with God, the God of the universe, to do stuff. It's mind-blowing that we could even be on the list that he would trust with such a thing. Awesome. Hey, it was my kid a week or two ago, so don't even worry. So it's crazy to me that we can have partnership, that the Lord would actually entrust us with that sort of partnership. When it really lands, it's the coolest thing. So again, the random acts of kindness, keep doing that. Because honestly, part of the way we figure out what partnership looks like, part of the way we figure out how to hear God's voice and figure out what's like a God moment and what was just a good thing that still counts is we practice. We try it out. Like, well, I thought this was the Lord. I mean, it was still good. It blessed him, but it wasn't like a God moment. But can I tell you what happens when it lands? When it's one of those moments where you gave away some money because you were feeling the Lord, you were feeling his leadership, you were feeling his direction, and you followed him. Can I tell you what happens? It's Mark 4:8. Other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or 100 times. Here's what happens for the other person. Here's what happens in the kingdom of God, the soil in the kingdom of God, when that moment lands in partnership. That amount of money winds up multiplying like crazy in the life of the one that you just gave it to in a couple of ways. One, it helps them in a situation that they were dead in the water. They were stuck. There was no way for them, and then God made a way, and you got to be part of it. That's really cool. Second, it causes them to see money a little differently. I can remember a couple of times where I was in this moment, and I was able to give money, and watching the wheels turn in the person you're giving the money to, they're like, this is happening right now. And you could see them processing, I think I should probably do this at some point. Like, I think I should, like, you shouldn't be the only one that gets to do this. I want to do this. You wind up even multiplying the resources because your gift even helps them see the value of giving. Not every person every time, but when it lands, it produces a crop. Think about that. Who wouldn't want that version of farming? Okay? This version. You just happen to find the right soil, the right seeds, it's the right rain season, everything just lands, boom, 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 and effortlessly, you do a little bit of tilling of the ground, you put a little seed in the ground, and then boom, there's trees everywhere. And it's all just giant fruit. It's like, well, this farming thing's easy. I don't know what everybody's talking about. This is pretty simple. Who wouldn't want that version of agriculture? There's something to this related to the resources being sown into the kingdom where you can actually have those sorts of moments where what you gave was so little for you. It really wasn't that big of a deal. It's not like it really changed your life that much even to be able to give that. But man, the fruit that it produced. I want to live a fruitful life. I want you to live fruitful lives. Living fruitful is fun. It's enjoyable. You wind up just in such a good place. You also result in thanksgiving. I'm going to share some stories here in just a minute, but I want to go with this last verse, just thinking about this. We shared this verse a couple of sessions ago, but I want to put it up again. It's 2 Corinthians 9, 10 through 11, because it talks about what happens when you give away that money. It talks about what's occurring. Now, he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase the store of your seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Your generosity will result in people praising Jesus that otherwise wouldn't have praised him for that thing. When you give away resources, it results in people praising God. Do you know how powerful thanksgiving is? Think about a person, we'll go ahead and start with the negative. Think about that person that's like the least thankful person you know. And then just kind of think about how like unfun they are sometimes. Okay? Because they're kind of unfun. Because thankful people are fun. And unthankful people are kind of unfun. But now think about the thankful one. The one that's just thankful. Think about how like better quality of life they have even on a bad day. Like that thankful person, just think about like what their bad day looks like, what their tough season looks like, because they're just filled with gratitude. The power of thanksgiving can shift culture. The power of thanksgiving shifts a human heart, can shift the trajectory of a family, can be significant currency in the culture of a church. When thanksgiving abounds, everybody wants to be there. When thanksgiving doesn't, it's kind of a tough lot. You can be part of shifting the culture by producing thanksgiving. And the word says, when you sow resources into the kingdom, you will actually further the mission of thanksgiving in the body of Christ. You'll further the mission of thanksgiving even within the law. Sometimes it's a gift like this that can even bring a hard heart to Jesus. They go, I cannot believe that Christian just gave me that money. Why would they do that? Why would they do that? I know why they would do that. I don't want to ask why they would do that because that would mean I have to give my life to Jesus. I mean, there is something about that gift opening the way for the giver. There is something about it. The word says we can actually guarantee the increase of thanksgiving to God if we're about the business of sowing our finances into kingdom objectives. That's stinking cool. I like that. I like to be the one giving the thanksgiving, but I love it when something I've done helped another person genuinely encounter the Lord in gratitude. That is so cool. You can do that. You can be a part of that. This is so cool. Okay, now I'm going to share a few stories because that's what we've been doing in this series. Share the word and then share some stories, trying to get our head in the game here. And I'm going to share some stories that I've already told you before. But I told you from my perspective, not from their perspective. Now I'm going to retell the story, but I'm going to tell you from their perspective. Okay? So a few of these stories where someone was the answer to my prayer with finances. Okay? And what that looked like. First, Matthew 6, 19 through 24. It says, don't store up for yourselves treasures on the earth where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Unfortunately, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't serve money. But if we decide we're going to serve God with our money, then we get to be that exchange right in the middle of all of it. I'm going to share again these stories. I've already told you before, but I want to tell you from their perspective. You guys remember I told you a story some time back about me going to Africa into the mission field, and I was given, I sold my car, and I got $1,600 for the car because it was a clunker. And it was probably actually the best car I'd owned up to that point, if that tells you anything about life. So that I got $1,600 for the car, and I was so excited because my plane ticket was $1,600. So I thought, 16, 16, this is awesome. I heard the Holy Spirit say, clearly, do not spend that money on the plane ticket. I was like, Lord, but 16, 16, come on. I just felt he had a different plan. Well, the clock is ticking. I get down to the week that I'm leaving to go to Africa. I have not yet paid for my plane ticket. The way that you can get by with that is it was booked through Air Miles and then this and this leg of the journey and blah, blah. So anyway, it was like above board, but I do have to pay for the plane ticket that I've got this reservation for. And I don't have the money. And this 16-year-old kid walks up to me and he says, Brad, what do you need? And I never told anybody that I hadn't paid for my plane ticket. Who goes to Africa and doesn't pay for their ticket already? Like, okay, I'm leaving next Tuesday. How are you getting there? A plane? Have you bought that ticket? Well, why you gotta ask such questions? This 16-year-old comes up to me and he says, Brad, what do you need for the trip? What do you need still? And I said, I don't know. He said, is your plane ticket paid for? I went, dude, I either not have to tell you no or lie to you. I said, no. He said, would $1,000 help? It's my entire life savings. 16-year-old kid. And I was like, I can't. So I called his dad and had the conversation with his dad because I was like, I am not taking your kid's money without a conversation with you. He said, that's his money. That's what he wants to do. You take that money. I said, okay, yes, sir. I got to tell this 16-year-old kid, you are funding my mission to Africa. I didn't have a plane ticket paid for. This is your fault I'm going. You are the one who is buying the ticket. Everything that's about to happen in the coming months and years, part of that's on you. Because you sowed into the kingdom in a way that was profound. Now, he didn't know how much the plane ticket was. He thought giving me the $1,000 took care of the deal. I still had a $600 bill. Do you know in the next few days, two more individuals came up to me and gave me $300, $300. Within 2 days of my actual like leave date, I got the full $1,600. And I went to each one of them and I said, you need to know this. A week ago, I had $0. Someone came up to me and gave me $1,000. You gave me $300. You gave me $300. Together, the Lord, without me saying a word to anybody, you guys got used by the Lord to fund this mission into Africa. I'm so grateful for you. And they were blown away. Their hearts were alive. They're like, I'm telling you right now, that 6-year-old kid, he's still got that story. And he'll have it in heaven. I mean, we'll talk about it there. I mean, I know him. He's a good dude. But like forever, that was a marking moment. Oh my gosh, I can use my money. Just imagine, you're 16. I can use my money to get the kingdom of God work done. And no one even had to advertise the need. I am just telling you right now, the sweetest thing you can do is tell no one what you need except God. You just talk to him about it every day. You can even cry if you want to. You just go, God, help. And you just talk to him about it. Because when it comes, it's God. So powerful. All right, next story. So there, I told you this sometime back. There was a time some years ago, I don't remember how long ago, and Amy and I, we wanted to be able to take our family on a vacation. We were just in a moment where, man, we really needed a break. And we didn't have the resources to do it. And I started praying that week. And this was one of those where the Lord just answered really quick. I said, Lord, I just need you to give us $1,000 so we can go on vacation. I just need you to give us $1,000. So Lord, write the check. It was just a couple of days later, I didn't tell anybody. A couple of days later, someone came up to me and they said, hey Brad, the Lord told me to give this to you. It was a check for $1,000. Not $1,100, not $800, $1,000. Exactly what I asked for. I stopped and I said, you need to know something. I've been praying this week and I just felt bold. I was like, I just needed the Lord to do it. I asked the Lord to give me $1,000. You heard God, because you didn't give me money. You gave me exactly what I asked one person for. There's only one person that knows this. And you just told me you felt like the Lord said to give this to me. I want to tell you, you were right on. They got used to bring a miracle in our life. We went on the vacation and we needed it. It was awesome. It was a sweet time away. But it's not even about what happened for that person. They got used by the Lord to accomplish kingdom purposes in a really profound way. All right, so to get into this space, I was praying. Now, I didn't know we were going to get into this space until right before it happened. But for whatever reason, I just had it in my heart. I'm going to pray every single morning until God does it for somebody, the Lord, to give Foreigner Fellowship $20,000. I didn't tell anybody. No one knew I was praying that. And I prayed it every day for over a year, about 18 months. I prayed it every day. I didn't even really know why I was praying for $20,000. I knew I wanted it. I figured we'd need it later. I didn't know what it was for, but I was praying every day, God, give Foreigner Fellowship $20,000, give Foreigner Fellowship $20,000. No one knew that. So we're at the point where we're trying to eye this space. And if you can remember, there were about 7,000 offices right here on this wall. Okay, this whole building was just offices. I mean, you needed to have a little bit of spirit of faith to interpret that it could become this, because man, it just looked like a bunch of walls. And so I started sharing with some different people and talking to, you know, different people and just saying, you know what? I think that the Lord's in this direction. You know, I think this is something that's happening. We were making announcements, you know, to people in our church and such. And I can remember I was in one conversation and the person I was talking to had no idea what I'd been praying. And they said, you know what? I want to give $20,000 for the remodel project. Would that be helpful? I was like, yeah. Yeah, that would be very helpful, actually. And you don't realize it, you're the answer to 18 months of intercession. I've been praying for 18 months every day, not for 21,000, not for 5,000 times four. I've been praying for $20,000. And I got to tell him, you're the answer to prayer. I've been praying that God would do that. And now look at this space. And forever, they'll have a piece of the inheritance of what's happening around here and what God has done in this place. See, that's pretty cool. It's pretty cool to be the one on that side of the story. Well, I want to share some times where mostly these are stories related to the prayer room. But I want to share some times, and if you guys haven't made that connection yet, look at me, if I can get out everybody's eyes real quick. We want everybody who's a part of this church, every soul, to pick one prayer meeting a week, to commit to help build night and day prayer for King Jesus over at the Prayer Room Missions Base. It's about half a mile from here. We want for everybody. We think having a part of a life of prayer, a corporate prayer life, we think it's essential. So when you're out in the lobby and it says we pray together, that's what we're talking about. We are committed to help build Jesus a night and day prayer altar in this city that's going 20 hours a day right now, and eventually it's going to go 24/7. So just so you can make that little connection. We've got close ties to TPR, to the prayer room. So a bunch of these stories are from there. But I'll share a couple of them from early on with this church. So in our early days, we were meeting in our living room, Amy and mine's living room, because that was before we got married. Yeah, we got married a couple years into that. So it's my living room, then it's her living room. You know how that works. So the first couple of years, we had some connections still with some of the work that I started over in Africa. And there was a gentleman, his name is Mustafa. And Mustafa got radically saved, gave his life to Jesus. He was running after the Lord, and he immediately felt a call to pastoring. And he just started discipling people and telling them the three things that he knew already, because I told him. He's like, well, I only know three things, but I can share those three things. I mean, he was just the most sharing Jesus guy ever. And what happened was he'd gone back to his hometown, home city, and he started a church, and he also started a Christian school. And this Christian school was in a Muslim country. And in a Muslim country, many of these Muslim countries, at least in that part of the world, there's not a public education system. So if anybody's going to get educated, they went to a private school, and all the private schools are Muslim, except this one Christian school. But all the Muslim schools also have the same problem that everybody's got, and that is a lack of resources. So you know what we did? The very beginning of Foreigner Fellowship, back in its early, early days, we took up a little offering amongst the, you know, 20-year-olds that were all broke and working at Starbucks. We took up an offering and we got $600. and we sewed it into this Christian school. And what wound up happening is this Christian school used it to buy a computer. That was the reason we got it. We took up the offering specifically for them to be able to get a computer. They were the only school in the region that had a computer as part of their education process for the students. So Muslim families were sending their Muslim kids to a Christian school in order to get educated in a way they could not get educated at the other schools in the area, because the other schools in the area didn't have a computer. We got to see lives and families transformed. I remember when we told Mustafa what we did. He was so excited. I'll tell you what, that Thanksgiving that was overflowing to God, we got to be a part of that. We got to be the miracle for that. We got to see families transformed as a result of that. Well, it wasn't long later, maybe a year later, we took up another offering for the same group, but for a different reason. Mustafa's plan was to get a team of radical, you know, disciples that he'd been working with. And they were going to go spend 2 or 3 months out in the bush. They were going to go from mud hut village to mud hut village to mud hut village and evangelize and tell people about Jesus. This little ragtag group, the very beginnings of Foreigner Fellowship in my living room, we took up an offering, $1,300. And our objective was, Mustafa, fund you and your team, the gas, the food, the lodging. You go around and we want to pay for that crusade. We want to pay for you to go around from town to town. However long you're going out for, we want to pay for it. Do you know 560 people gave their lives to Jesus? 22 Muslim villages converted to Jesus. The entire village, 22 times over, gave their lives to Jesus because we took up $1,300? How many dollars per soul is that? I mean, that's good return on investment. $1,300. But do you know what? It was the Lord. And part of that was the genetics of this church in the early days learning, if we give away our money, we can get to be the miracle someplace else. We can be the miracle in somebody else's life. We can be part of the kingdom economy, the kingdom currency. Guys, I'm telling you, it's transforming what can happen through your resources, through your money. I'm gonna share a couple more stories. I got a bunch more written down here we just don't have time for. But we have got story after story after story, not where something cool happened, where something epic happened, with taking up our resources and sowing them into aspects of the kingdom. I'll just share one or two more real quick. There was a house of prayer in California, and we were connected with them. It's a good buddy of mine, Jim Stillwell. And they had just moved out of the space, and when they moved into that space, the agreement that they made with the landlord was they were going to utilize all the stuff that that space already had. So that meant they were going to get rid of all their stuff. Well, some things went south, and they wound up getting asked kindly to move on. Well, they already had moved on with all their stuff. They had nothing left. So now they're a house of prayer with literally nothing to their name. And they figured out a way to get a empty lease space that was probably about half the size of this room. And the entire building was just one room, and they literally had nothing to their name. So they're a house of prayer that's used to having full worship set up and everything, projectors, chairs, everything. They're used to all of that because that's what they'd had for years in this other place, and before that, years in a place of their own with their own gear. They had nothing. So we took up an offering. We said, Lord, give us the ability to help them get restarted. We took up an offering for $5,000, and we gave it to them. And they had no idea this was happening. They got a check for $5,000, and they restarted everything. They bought worship equipment. They bought chairs. They bought the necessary this's and that's. They got literally restarted with $5,000. They had to be frugal about it, but they got restarted with $5,000. To this day, they still thank me for that because they can't believe what happened, because we just heard about a need and went, God, will you let us meet the need? Will you let us be a part of the solution? And it was life transforming for them. I mean, I can't even imagine being in that situation. No, actually, I can totally imagine being in that situation. What I can't imagine is getting the $5,000. That's the part I'm having a hard time with. They got the $5,000 and it changed everything immediately. They got to just go and get stuff and now, boom, have a semblance of their ministry reality again overnight. It was shocking to them. See, guys, there is power that can happen through our hands. Here's what I want to give us just as a couple of takeaways. My hope today was to cast a vision for us. This whole give and it will be given to you, more blessed are those that give than receive. I want us to think about ourselves, not just our church, not just, you know, our small groups. I want you to think about you being the answer to someone's need, because the Holy Spirit lays it on your heart and you're in partnership. I'll tell you this. There's a lot of conversations the Lord wants to have with us that he won't have with us until we're ready to have it with him. There's a lot of things God will not talk to us about until we are ready to be talked at, until we are ready to engage him. If you will go on the journey of saying, Lord, I want to be used in this way. Use me. I'm just a person with a few bucks. I can do this. The Lord will begin to use you. Second thing I want to say, it's not about the dollar amount. The miracle story can be just as big with a five-year-old and $5. You know what $5 is to a five-year-old? That's a lot of bubble gum, friends. That's a lot of bubble gum. I know some five-year-olds around here probably praying for $5 worth of bubble gum. It's not about the amount. It's about engaging the Lord. I'm not talking about random acts of kindness. Do that too. I'm talking about asking the Lord to use you. Lord, use me to be the miracle for somebody. Use my $5, $50, $500, $5,000. It doesn't matter how many zeros. Use what I have. Lord, line me up with the guy or gal or the family or the situation that needs what I have. I can't help them with what I don't have, but I can help somebody with what I do have. Line me up with the right group. Like, pair us up, Lord. Pair me up. I've got a yes in my heart. Pair me up with the one that needs what it is that I have. If you'll start praying that way, the Lord will start using that. I just want to tell you, it feels so good. It feels amazing to be the one giving it, to be on that side and watch them go. And all the different reactions, the no, you didn't, that one. And then also the, oh, thank you. Well, then there's the ones that just stare at you. Those are awesome too. I love the stare ones. And you're just sitting there going, oh Lord, you are so marking this in the book right now. You're watching. This is so fun getting to be a part of this. It is exciting. It's an exciting way to live. It's a freeing way to live. Just think about when it happens to you and how cool it is. How much you appreciate it. Go be that. Go do it. Do it to someone else. Ask the Lord for the clarity. And don't worry if it doesn't land dramatically. Sometimes I'll tell you this. Sometimes it landed in a way far more dramatically than they were laying on. Sometimes it was the total answer to prayer, but they're just stone-faced. Thanks. Cool. Bye. And it was like the life-changing moment. And you may never even hear about it. Leave the results to the Lord. But I'll tell you this. If you'll start experimenting with this, you'll have these stories. You will have those God moment stories where you got to be the hand of the Lord in that moment. He loves it. It's his idea. He uses people to get stuff done. I've used it 1,000 times in this series, but when God wants to part a sea, someone has to stick a stick in the air. Moses has got to put a stick up. And if Moses doesn't put the stick up, God's like, well, it was going to be a really crazy day for you guys, but I guess you can all just die there on the shoreline if you want to. If you just put the stick in the air, man, I'll use you to part a sea. And forever you'll be known as the guy that parted the sea. Moses didn't part that sea. God parted the sea, but I'll tell you what, God wasn't going to part that sea without Moses sticking his stick up. So just stick the stick up. Be used of the Lord and be right there in the middle of the economy of God. And let me tell you this, because I think this is what it's all about. And worship team, you can come on up. Don't just pass the moment by. Debrief with God. I think this is so essential. Don't just have the moment and go, cool. Have a feast with the Lord later talking about it. Hey, God, that was really cool. That thing you let me do with that $5, that was so awesome. It rocked their world. Lord, how did it rock their world? Tell me more about it. Well, it rocked their world this way, Brad. Glad you asked. Talk to the Lord. Dialogue with the Lord about the thing that you got to do. Because I think actually what all these miracles are really about, really when it gets down to it, it's about encountering the Lord. It's about having a real relationship with the living God who does miracles. Let's not take those miracles for granted. Let's dialogue with him. Let's go deeper. Let's build a deeper relationship with the God of miracles.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.